Chapter 24. Media Propaganda Exercises. This chapter is derived from three articles written in August 2006, May 2011 and April 2012. I hope they give something of an insight into the way media propaganda is developed and promulgated. Don't take them seriously. In August 2006, Duncan Gardholm, of the UK Daily Telegraph, telephoned me. This was probably because he had received an email which I had sent as part of a campaign. The email represented a rejection of the fake airline shampoo bombers terrorism story which had been pushed by all mainstream media outlets earlier in the summer of 2006. In relation to this false narrative, it was reported in 2010 that the jury could not convict because at the end of a £10 million investigation and trial lasting more than 2 years, jurors were unable to decide whether or not a group of British Muslims were part of a plot to blow transatlantic airliners out of the sky. He asked why I was doubtful of the story. I told him some of the details I knew about 9/11 at that time, such as the destruction of WTC-7 and the general lack of any real evidence as a basis for the story. He asked me about details about myself. He asked, "And your wife is a nurse?" "Yes." I confirmed that. Asking him where he got this information company's house, he said, "I had a limited company at the time, through which I was doing software development work. I was puzzled by this as I don't think there was anything in my company records which documented my wife's profession." However, this proved that Gardholm obviously had the facility to do research. A day or two after this telephone call, an article was published in the Daily Telegraph with the title, "It's All a Government Plot, Say Internet Truth Activists." When he published the article, he mentioned my website, which I never even mentioned or discussed with him on the phone. I didn't even realize he knew it was my website, for example. He mentioned that my website suggests men did not go to the moon. This statement is false. My website mentions the words of Neil Armstrong's 25th anniversary address at the White House, and includes a video clip of that address, so the evidence can be verified. He also lied when he reported that I had said the London Tube bombers could have been going on a hiking trip in France. In other words, he wrote a hit piece and ignored the evidence I described to him personally. He didn't print Neil Armstrong's words either, which are also listed on a government website, linked on the same page of my website. This is the way the press work on issues of the greatest importance. Below is the response I sent to Duncan Gardholm, on the day the article was published. From Andrew Johnson @johnson@world.com (2) Duncan Gardholm Duncan Gardholm @telegraph.co.uk Date, the 15th of August 2006, 8:44 a.m. Re, http://www.telegraph.co.uk/news/main.jhtml? XML equals /news/2006/08/15/terra315.xml. Duncan. Thanks for the article. I am glad you mentioned other people and the numbers of messages you received. As regards what you wrote about me, it would have been fairer to include the words of Neil Armstrong from 1994, not very long, and it would also have been fairer to include the words of Gordon Cooper, if you were determined to bring in such topics. You also omitted the smoking gun of WTC-7 that we did discuss. I shall be advising my friends of these omissions, so that they know the balance of the article has been changed from what we discussed. That is, we didn't discuss other items on my website, so I was not given the opportunity to highlight their importance and validity. Thanks and regards. Andrew Johnson. Of course, there was no response from Mr. Gardholm, and as with just about all mainstream repeaters, he would never retract or correct what he said unless a court forced him to do so as punishment. 9/11 Conspiracy Road Trip, May 2011. This became yet another hit piece and psychological operation, for the viewing public as well as those who were directly involved in the exercise. I was contacted through my website contact email form on the 6th of May 2011 thus. Dear Andrew. I came across your website whilst researching for a BBC project. I am developing a project for BBC Three, which is a one-hour documentary exploring the events of September 11, 2001, and we are looking for 6 enthusiastic young British people who are keen to go on a road trip to New York to explore some of the myths and conspiracy theories surrounding this tragic day. It would be great to speak to you if you think you can help, 020730XXXX. I responded by telephoning the number given and I spoke to one of the producers for about 30 minutes. I explained to her, in some detail, about the evidence that I was aware of and, for example, Dr. Judy Wood's 9/11 court case 121. I did this so that I could state that the producers had been told about the evidence. In common with most people from the BBC, she showed little or no interest and was keen only that I pass on her phishing message to other people. I also sent them a follow-up email with relevant links and a quick summary of the evidence proving what happened to the WTC on 9/11/418. I kept my end of the bargain, as I sent their message to several people, but I was not so cavalier as to pass any of their names or contact details onto the documentary producer. I just passed on the contact details to the people I knew so that they could contact her if they wished. The reason I did not pass on any contact details was because I no longer trust anyone connected with mainstream journalism. Even though 3 years had elapsed, nothing seemed to have changed since the correspondence I had with Conspiracy Files producer Mike Rudin in 2008, who apparently also had no interest at all in evidence. He merely had an agenda to get an interview with Dr. Judy Wood. He failed. When the program was broadcast, it was clear that it was another piece of propaganda, revealing none of the known truth. The request that was sent out, shown above, implied the program was aimed at younger adults. Can we deduce, then, that this program was made specifically to influence some of the folks in that age group to disregard any questions of the official narrative that they may have? After participating in the program, a then popular speaker and activist Charlie Veitch seems to have made a peculiar U-turn with regard to ignoring 9/11 evidence. I especially liked an analysis done by a YouTuber called CT Agenda, although he omitted the point that it is easy to show thermite had nothing to do with the destruction of the WTC. Charlie Veitch then declared that he had created the Truther character to deceive people and his real name was Damien Rockefeller. People who think. Let's debate. On the 3rd of April 2013, I was contacted about what seemed to be a similar proposed propaganda program regarding the 7/7 bombings. It was again being produced by the inappropriately named Renegade Pictures. As you will see, my response to them was rather different this time. Recipient, info@checkedevidence.com. Message text, Hi Andrew. I'm contacting you from a TV company called Renegade Pictures. I am working on a doc about people who think that the 7/7 bombings cannot be explained by the official report, which suggests that it was a terrorist attack committed in the name of Islam. We are currently in the process of casting for the prog, so are interested in looking for people who are between the ages of 18 to 35 yoktoskants who doubt the official account of events. Is there anyone who think might be keen to take part? Cheers. Here is the response I sent. From, Andrew Johnson, mail@johnson@newell.com. Sent, the 3rd of April 2012 1852. 2, at renegadepictures.co.uk. Subject, RE, 7/7 Program. Hi there. I was contacted by your company last year re the 9/11 road trip film you made, and it is now clear what happened. In your message you wrote. We are currently in the process of casting for the prog, so are interested in looking for people who are between the ages of 18 to 35 yoktoskants who doubt the official account of events. Well, we have been in the process of pointing out that the government's revised narrative of the events of 7/7 cannot be true. This is the definitely the case, no doubts or beliefs are involved, because the available evidence proves that the 4 alleged bombers cannot have committed the alleged crimes, someone else is responsible. I would like to point you in the direction of John Anthony Hill's, JAR, film 7/7 Ripple Effect, which summarizes the evidence which proves the official narrative of 7/7 is false. http://video.google.com/videoplay. Docet equals 875679526335980777. You could also cover the JAR was detained without trial, accused of attempting to pervert the course of justice, for 140 days and finally brought to trial after that period had elapsed, and after the so-called 7/7 inquest had finished, and he was acquitted by a jury. They were shown the aforementioned film. http://terrorontheTube.co.uk/2011/05/12/muadib/acquitted/. All the people I know are familiar with above story and, as far as I can tell, know that the BBC, news media and those production companies making films and documentaries not addressing this evidence are effectively, at best, then paid propaganda agents or, at worst, accomplices to a criminal cover-up, being, as they are, complicit in attempts to pervert the course of justice. History will record this, and the dishonesty of those unable to report on and investigate these matters appropriately and accurately when they should know better. A production brief given by a director or other person will not be seen as an invalid excuse. History will also record others, like Jar, who have studied the details and the evidence and presented it fairly and accurately to those willing to listen. http://www.richplanet.net/starship_main.php ref=55 and part=1 http://www.richplanet.net/starship_main.php ref=56 and part=1 I will be advising my contacts that a new BBC propaganda piece is in the works, and they can then also log this as another attempt at smear, ridicule, distortion and so on in what is tantamount to fraud and conspiracy. You, as a researcher, have a choice: continue to be paid money to help pervert the course of justice, or perform research openly and honestly and refuse to contribute to the project in any meaningful way. All persons working on this program have the same choice. Perhaps once you have done the research, you can present this choice to them. I will be posting this on my website, deleting your name, so that you can privately make the choice above. Regards, Andrew Johnson. This response came back from @renegadepictures.co.uk. Sent, 4 April 2012, 12:13. To, @johnson@gmail.com. Subject, Re 77 Program. Hi Andrew. Thanks for your email. I fully appreciate your concerns, but wanted to let you know that we are not trying to make a one-sided propaganda piece with this documentary. This is a program which will allow 5 people the chance to tell the viewing public what they think really happened on the 7th of July. It is not a one-sided program. Instead, we wish to promote a genuine debate on the issue, which will enable 5 people who think the official account is false to put forward their views and present their case. It sounds like you know a lot on the topic, and it would be really helpful to talk to you about your views, materials that can help us in our research, and any points that you feel we should raise in the documentary. If this is something you would be up for doing, you can reach me on - many thanks. I then responded again, trying to emphasize that debate was not necessary to establish what actually happened. That information and evidence was already available to anyone that wanted to study it. From Andrew Johnson, mail to @johnson@gmail.com. Sent, 4 April 2012, 14:59. To, @renegadepictures.co.uk. Subject, Re 77 Program. Dear - thanks for your message and offering an opportunity to participate in a debate. It's a bit like saying, should we debate whether 2 + 2 = 5? The government story of 7-7 is false, and the establishment has acted to prevent this being properly shown to the public. That is true. I don't want to discuss a view, I want to discuss evidence, which won't be possible in a program like that. If your program was to be called 7-7, how the government, the UK media lied and covered up crimes, and that title was going to be shown on air, then I might consider participating in some way. In any case, you won't retain editorial control yourself, and even if you did, a fair presentation of the evidence would either removed or compromised by including experts such as Chris French or Karen Douglas or someone else. Other reasons for me not being interested in participating are: 1. Previous experience with your company, documented here. http://www.checkedevidence.co.uk/cms/index.php (option=:com_content/task=view_and_id=332and_item=60) 2. Previous experience with the BBC, documented here. http://www.checkedevidence.go.uk/cms/index.php. Option equals com underscore content and task equals view and id equals 168 and item id equals 60. 3. Minor, but based on your criteria, I am too old, 47 years old. 4. Reaction I've had to my posting, some from Facebook and some by email, see below. So why would people react this way? All the information you need is out there, what I've given you is a starting point. Presumably, you get paid to do research, I do not, except for when I am researching into the nature of students' health conditions for my student assessment work. Regards, Andrew Johnson. When I posted this on my website and on Facebook, the response I had from people was positive. One person said it well. The fact that they ask for people who think that 7/7 bombings cannot be explained by the official report and not people who have evidence about what actually happened on 7/7 tells you they are not interested in finding out the truth.